Hare Krishna everyone, welcome to the today's session. So we'll briefly review what we discussed last to last class. We covered from verse number 19 to 21. Yeah. So we'll just briefly review. So in this section, what is Krishna talking about? The qualities of the person situated in transcendental, right? Verse number 19.
We can be liberated even with this body if we understand ourselves.
Understand
the self, or we realize the self.
Yeah.
So we should be introspective and we should be as pure as the Lord to enter this.
So we should be like fire in order to enter the fire. It's like that. Okay. Yeah. Any more points?
Sameness and
equanimity.
Sameness is like everyone we will see as a spirit, and equanimity in any situation will stay same.
Yeah.
We will not be affected with the duality.
Yeah.
Like Lord Ram.
Like Lord Ram. Text number 20. Text number 20. So Krishna is saying, person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon something unpleasant. Self-intelligent. So he's unbewildered about what? There were two points Srila Prabhupada was telling in the purport. Online, are you able to hear properly?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay.
He's not mistaking the body for the soul.
Yeah.
And he knows that the body is not permanent, right?
Yes. So these are the two points about not being bewildered. Then, so some of the points, you remember what we discussed? Self-intelligent.
Sthirabuddhi.
Yeah, sthirabuddhi.
So Lord Ram and
Ambarish Maharaj.
Examples.
Persons are situated in equanimity and self-realization. Yeah. Okay. So 21. So such a person, what is his disposition with respect to material sense pleasures? He's not attracted.
It doesn't work.
Because he's always in trance and enjoying the pleasure within. That's what Krishna is saying. Then in this way, but does it mean because he's withdrawing from material sense pleasure, does it mean he is always morose? Krishna is saying he's actually enjoying unlimited happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is spiritual happiness. Because he concentrates on the Supreme. Some more points from this. Again, we read this verse and purport from, translated Yamunacharya's verse, where he says, having tasted the nectar from the Krishna's lotus feet, whenever I think of sex pleasure, my lips curl with distaste.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the thought, that much, the higher taste he has in Krishna's lotus feet. Have you heard about the story of Krishna sucking his toe?
Balamukhi.
Hmm. Like in the pastime? Anybody heard? Yeah, so I don't think I'll remember all the details, but it was Pralaya, the time of Pralaya, and Markandeya Muni, he was, I don't know what he was doing. But he was just in the time, and everything was getting devastated, and that water was coming on him, and he was completely bewildered because it's so much intense time. everything was getting devastated at that time. Then suddenly everything calmed down and he saw a banana leaf. I think we discussed this once. He saw a banana leaf and he saw Krishna in the form of baby Bala Mukunda sitting on that and is sucking his own toe. You know, babies suck their toes, right? Because they are getting it from Krishna. Krishna sucks his toe. Then he asked, you know, why he is sucking his toe. You know what Krishna says? Why he is sucking his toe? You know, I think, right? No, no, Prabhu?
Yeah, I think I heard in the class only.
You only may remember, but...
So, on the Lord's lotus feet, you know, all the devotees, they get so much pleasure. So, he wants to test, you know, himself how much...
So Krishna's lotus feet, devotees, they won't say, you know, Krishna, I want to stay at your lotus feet, I want nectar from your lotus feet, I want to just stay at lotus feet. So Krishna is thinking, okay, what is that pleasure in my lotus feet? Oh, let me taste. So he's tasting his own toe to taste that nectar of his lotus feet. Similarly, you know, Krishna is all knowing, he knows everything, but only one thing he doesn't know, what is that? He doesn't know what happiness Radharani expresses in loving him. Because he is the object of love. He is not the... He is not the... The other... What is the other side? He is not the person who gives the love. He is object. He is object. He is the recipient. So he doesn't know what the source is experiencing. Yeah. Very nice terms are there. I am not getting it now. So that's the only one thing he doesn't know. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to experience that, the feeling Radharani feels for Krishna. Then Radharani is, I heard this recently. Then Radharani is saying, no, Krishna, you come like in the mood, in my mood, and you know, have this separation. Radharani's main feeling is separation from Krishna. You have this feeling of separation from Krishna, it's going to be so intense, so painful that you know you're going to cry and roll on the dust, and you know your body is going to be bruised. So in order to protect you, I'm going to cover yourself with my color. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has golden color, which is of Radharani's. So that when he experiences his ecstatic symptoms, he's not hurt. No, he will never be hurt, but no, just for the sake of exchange. So that's the intense mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So then we'll start from today's section, text number 22. So 22 and 23rd verse, Krishna is describing clearly, very very crucial for all the sadhakas. No, very very important for all of us to, you know, really really understand these verses and try to get the import and hopefully, you know, have the realization one day. Why sense pleasures are foolish. This is the title of this section, 22 and 23. Krishna is describing why material sense pleasures are foolish, or to chase after material sense pleasures is a foolish thought. Text number 22. Yehi samsparsha jabuka dukkha yonaya evate adi antavanta kaunteya nate shuramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to the contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Actually, this verse discusses, in the purport and the verse, discusses the characteristics of material sense pleasures. You know, what are the different attributes? Like, you know, what do we experience? I don't know, what are different characteristics of material sense pleasures? If you just want to highlight, you know, write down what does this verse is about. So what is some of the points Krishna is saying? These material sense pleasures are sources of misery. So you know, naam ke vaste they are pleasures, but actually they are sources, you know, they are sources of misery. And how do they appear? They come because of contact with senses, contact with sense objects. So it's not spiritual, right? It's all the material senses coming in contact with sense objects. And another characteristic is such pleasures have a beginning and an end. So they are temporary. At some point it starts and some point it ends. And so that's why wise men do not delight in them. They don't take pleasure in such pleasures because they want eternal pleasure. Why want something which is going to end? Okay, so now before going to the purport, let's analyze this verse. So we all agree this, material sense pleasures are sources of misery. Or actually, it is said, so we have experience in this world, we have seen others, and also we have experienced to a certain extent material pleasures, right? At least seemingly it's pleasurable. From others we see, you know, they are all happy. Happy going to movies, happy, you know, going on a ride, happy. It seemingly they are happy and joyful, right? And we also have some experience when we go to certain things. No, we also have some happiness. So then why Krishna is saying, you know, it's misery. So let's have some discussion from our experiences and what we heard. You know, why it could be, why Krishna is saying such pleasures are miserable. Because we don't have that realization, right? Do we have fully? We don't have.
No.
So to what, to the extent we have that realization, why do, like for example, we may have planned certain trips, okay, long to go, long weekend, oh let's go here. We make up so much, you know, planning, effort and everything and go there. No? But when we come back, what do we have so much, or whatever expectations we have, you know, does it match really? Huh? So from such experiences we can talk about from our realizations. Why is it really miserable?
Fridays we feel very happy, right? There are 2 days holidays, but Sunday night again we start feeling that we have to go back to work.
Okay, tomorrow. Because so it's temporary,
right?
Because it's temporary, yeah. Again we have to go back to
right.
Our, you know, so-called constitutional position. So that's one reason why it's miserable. Because the soul wants to enjoy eternally.
Mm.
I wish it can be like this. I thought you were going to talk about the class, you know. Okay, that's fine. So, you know, I wish it can go on, this happiness can go on eternally. But suddenly it comes to an end and soul is bewildered. Like, okay, now I have to find something else. Right? So that's one reason it's miserable. Then, from our experiences, don't talk about, okay, we have heard certain things, but really, we can speak from our experience.
Sensual pleasure, one of the thing is it bond binds you because you are so much used to the AC and this thing, right? It's nice. Sometimes when there's no current, oh my god, what do we do?
Ah, so it becomes miserable. Yeah.
It becomes miserable. So binding is there. Another thing I noticed is there's no contentment.
Mm.
Like you feel that, okay, you have one thing, okay, that's not enough. You get the one thing, that's not enough. Then there's the next thing. So it's like ongoing
chase,
yeah, rat race.
Rat race.
This is the next one. There's no content.
Yeah, because it's not, doesn't satisfy the soul. It's not food for the soul.
Exactly.
That's why, you know, because it's contact with senses, with sense objects.
Yeah.
It's just external, like having, giving the, you know, like having a golden cage to the parrot and coating, always polishing the cage, but not giving the food to the parrot. Then the parrot is going to die. But cage is all beautiful, shining, everything. So like that, you know, we just try to somehow, because unfortunately that's what we have been experiencing and that's what we are seeing and that's what we know.
That's all we know.
So we have been trying, you know, year after year, life after life, same thing, you know, chewing the chewed, trying the same thing and still tasting this bitterness, but still, oh, maybe not this, it's a different, maybe, you know, different type of sweet will satisfy me. Maybe different type of location of, you know, retreat will satisfy me. That's all. We keep changing that, but every time we experience the same thing, but still
we want
to go back. But at least, you know, we should be fortunate that we have an alternative. Many people don't have alternatives, so they keep trying, you know, thinking maybe US gives me happiness, maybe Britain gives me happiness, you know, just going here, grass is greener on the other side. But because they don't have alternative, they don't know what else is there. They thought, you know, this is what everybody is doing, so that's what I have to do. But at least we are fortunate that we have the alternative, you know. Let's stop chasing these illusory pleasures and let's invest in feeding the soul. Then when we have the taste of little bit happiness in the spiritual realization, then we immediately know, okay, let me not invest in this, let me invest in this. Then gradually our balance shifts and then we feel, you know, really happy. So, some other points anybody can share?
Simple example, Master, the food for example.
Uh-huh.
We like to eat so much and then again we suffer because of that.
Yeah.
So, anything that we get pleasure now has
some other consequence or pain.
Yeah.
So, it is said pain is other side of the coin basically, yes. Of the pleasure. Yeah, same thing. You know, overeating. Srila Prabhupada said nobody died out of overeating. People died out because of lack of food. So, they would reverse. Nobody died after lack of eating, but because overeating, people died. But we don't realize. We think, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so hungry, how will I sleep? I'll not have good sleep, I'll not get up tomorrow. So many reasons to satisfy the palate.
Same with the sleep. If you keep extending the sleep,
you get ahead.
You are just getting more tired and tired. But you are not satisfied with 2 days and I will sleep 12 hours. Again, after 12 hours, you'll see some headache.
You get headache.
Headache, okay. So these are some of the points. Then we'll read the purport and we'll see what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So material sense pleasures. Okay, one thing I heard from the lecture which is very nice, and also from the Guruji and Prabhu's commentary. Shri Krishna is giving the real formula, real meaning of material sense pleasures. We have experience from what it is, from what we seen from others, that you know, maybe it may be happiness. But what does Krishna say? Krishna is the creator, right? What does he has to say about these things? What is his opinion? Krishna is saying it's equal to misery. So this is the formula he is giving us. So if we remember this formula and you know, somehow always keep it in our heart, that material sense pleasure is equal to misery, that formula. Then it will help us in for the sadhaka to progress steadily in the devotional life. So material sense pleasure is equal to misery. That's what is the formula. Okay, so we'll read the purport.
Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasures?
Okay, so if you read the purport, actually more points will come out. So we can run through them at the end. So if you when you realize that, you can underline or something. So when we ask for the points, you can say. For example, here, they're all temporary. That's the point Prabhupada is saying. Mm. Right? Yeah. Continuing. We can just read the translation. The mystics.
In the Padma Purana, it is said, the mystics derive unlimited and transcendental pleasures from the absolute truth. And therefore, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said, my dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure. While in this human form of life, such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penance in this life by which your existence will be purified. And as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss.
Yeah, so these pleasures are available in all forms of life, right? All kinds of species, everybody is doing the four basic things. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So then what is, we should make a better use of this human form of life. And it actually, it says, there's a Sanskrit term, it says, you know, human life is meant for austerity, not for gratification. You know, we are meant to do austerities in human form of life.
But
such a way that...
Who's telling his sons?
My dear sons, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1. Yeah, if I go to that context, we'll be able to get, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't remember. As a result, you'll be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Yeah. Therefore,
those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. Mm. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries.
Yeah, see, so it's a cause of continuous material existence because of the addiction. Like for example, you know, addiction to watching TV or addiction to, you know, bad habits or addiction to, you know, eating, let's say, sweets. Any, you know, there are 6 tastes, right? Any of one taste can actually make us uncontrolled. One taste, if I was sharing, because I like so much eating sweets. So if I if I let it go, that can completely subsume the whole control. There are 6 sweets or salty, right? All the 6 tastes. So because that causes addiction, and it can, because it makes it completely entrap us in material miseries. So what are the some of the characteristics from the purports? One is they are temporary. Next.
Sources
of misery.
The last line.
Okay, so we'll go from the beginning.
Okay,
first is temporary, next. They're also available in all forms of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lower and these are all lower pleasures. No? Transcendentalists seek higher pleasures. And next one, this cause of continuous material existence. And it's temporary because body itself is temporary. Yeah, we discussed that in the first. Okay, and it's coming in contact because of sense perception. We discussed that in the verse number second chapter, right? What's the verse Krishna talks about tolerating? I think we bifurcated this.
Yeah.
So tolerate, because it's coming because of contact of material senses with sense objects. We should tolerate the happiness and distress as the winter and summer seasons come and go. We should not get disturbed and we should just continue our duty. So some of the practical points. So does that mean, like, you know, for example, our kids, okay, let's say, you know, we have experienced all this and now we are dedicating to certain extent to Krishna consciousness. So we consciously try to avoid maybe, you know, so-called picnics, outings or whatever, and try to, you know, use our time in what we know as Krishna conscious activities. So what about our kids? You know, does that mean then, you know, because they are, some are born, some are... Hare Krishna, Garima Mataji.
Ha Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, hello?
It's got closed.
Cut type. Probably Skype is done. Okay. Mataji, you can tell me. So... So our children are there, some are born in Krishna consciousness, some are already born before we came to Krishna consciousness, so they have certain tastes and they also need certain outings or whatever, right, for them to have a balanced life and also to have a better experience of life instead of just giving directly only Krishna consciousness. So what do we do about that? Now does that mean if we take them to outings, it's like, you know, now bad? So, okay, I'll only tell the answer. So This question is asked in one of Radhanath Maharaj's lectures. Prabhu was sharing that, you know, Prabhu, now Maharaj, we have to now give the full experiences, all experiences to our kids. No, so then we have to take them to picnics. And while taking them to picnics, suddenly we feel now our tastes are returning. What we used to experience, we also start enjoying now. So then, you know, what do we do about it? We are doing it for them because they need to have their experience, but we are also getting the taste. What do we do? Then Maharaj said, we should learn the art to Krishnaize everything. So it's not that we have to give experience to kids. So, you know, we just go to picnic like how other materialistic people go to picnics. So we should learn how to, you know, while taking them to picnic, how we can make dovetail in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, having morning programs or, you know, kirtans or reading some books or, you know, books during that stay there. Especially, you know, like that. So we should learn how to Krishnaize it. So we don't keep the Krishna in center all the time. Otherwise, again, it's no different. Just because devotees are going together, it doesn't become spiritual. This is very clear. We should be very clear about this. Sometimes, you know, after we come, you know, we have, okay, devotee friends. Now we are not going to mundane people. We are going with devotees, so it's spiritual. Even if we go with devotees, if we do nonsense act, the effect will be same. So if we go with devotees and take advantage of that association and use it to, you know, when devotees come together, use it to do sankirtan and advance more, then it's beneficial. And okay, maybe in the middle, okay, 2-3 hours, let's go water rafting or something. That's fine. But morning we'll have Mangalarti, evening we'll have class, evening we'll have kirtan. In the middle, just 2-3 hours, we'll go rafting. That's fine. That way we give what kids need for their growth right now and, you know, for their proper balance. And at the same time, we keep Krishna in center and, you know, we don't get more contaminated. Rather, we become more liberated because of the strength of the association of devotees. So, the one thing which I wanted to share is, like, we should remember, just because we go with devotees doesn't become spiritual. it matters what we do. So we may have that misconception. So okay. So then, so we'll go to the next verse. That's okay, this verse? Fine?
Yeah.
Okay. Shaknoti haiva yachodum praksharirabhimokshanat kama krodho bhavam vegam sayukta sasukinara. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. So the question that somebody arises, somebody may ask is like, okay, how long should I tolerate these sense pleasures? Okay, is it like just 1-2 years until they are in control, until my senses are in control? Or maybe like 10 years? What's the answer?
Till we have
the body. So Krishna is saying, until you have material body, you should control them. You should tolerate these sense pleasures. Because the body is always going to act in a way to propel us to enjoy the senses. Until that time, you should always be, like snake charmer, how he controls the snakes, Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere. Now, always keep them under control. And then Krishna is saying, one has to check the force of desire and anger. Desire to enjoy, and anger about frustrations from this world. Anger that, you know, our desires are not satisfied. So it's basically hankering and lamentation. Hankering for something and we don't get it, so we lament. Or, so if you can check the force of desire and anger, then he's well situated and is happy in this world. So how can we be happy in this world? That's what Krishna is saying. So one has to tolerate the material senses and one has to check the force of desire and anger. So, we'll read the purport, maybe last 6 lines. Material desires, when unsatiated,
generate anger, and thus the mind, thighs and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger.
Mm.
Oh my God.
So first Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying, one must practice to control this and material desires before one gives up this body. So that's actually the whole life. Now it's our practice for us. Day to day, we can always exercise this. Now, are we giving into these desires? So, of course, because of our previous habituation, we have those desires. So what do we do about it?
Don't act on them.
So that's the key. We should not act on them. Desires are going to come. Like how we discussed about the ocean, which is full, right? It doesn't get disturbed as the rivers flow in water. So like that, somehow, you know, if we can be satisfied in Krishna's service and devotional service, then when the desires come up also, like we just somehow just ignore it. Don't act on it. Because if you start acting on it, then they'll inflame again. So again, they will become. So actually, you know, we should be so careful. It's just a moment's back that we just came to Krishna's association. We should not be so proud of ourselves, like, you know, okay, now I don't have those desires, you know, okay, now I can just, you know, relax. No, it's just imagine, and compared to eternity, within like, you know, 5 years or 10 years, we have been practicing Krishna consciousness. Of course, power of devotional service is very great, but still, our conditioning and our habits and everything are so ingrained that any time we can just go back. The only thing which is saving us is association and, you know, the practices of devotional service.
Last sentence is actually scary, Mataji.
Yeah. It is a duty of the transcendentalist to strive strenuously to control desire and anger.
So that means the transcendentalists themselves have not fully controlled it. So what of us, right? So that's why.
No, transcendentalist means a person who has a transcendental goal, like all of us, sadhakas.
Oh,
it's not right. A fully realized person.
Okay.
They have to, that's why, you know, try strenuously. We have to endeavor.
But even they fall, right? Like,
yes.
That's why I think Krishna stresses till
death. Till the death, yes.
Yeah.
At any point, we should not slacken. That it's the term it said, it's like, you know, the race is not over until it's over.
Right.
Always, you know, we are running on the, you know, whatever, 400 mile race or something. Usually, initially when I was in 10th grade or something, I used to be part of this. So, four rounds you have to do, right? First round, second round, you'll do with so much enthu and so much energy. And third round, usually, you know, you cannot do. But, you know, but you have to make it to that point. Of course, you know, at that time, you'll go, you know, the person who runs will get the first. But otherwise, we don't get it. So, race is not over until it's over. So, until, you know, even if we are completely pure, even Krishna reveals to us, you know, our relationship with Krishna, all those things, until Krishna is saying, until we have this body to tolerate the urges of material senses. So we should never think, you know, oh, I'm done now. Okay, I attended some classes, some years, chanting, it's done. Okay, now I can relax a little bit. No, we should never think like that. That Krishna is saying, you know, strive strenuously. No, actually, this another point which occurred to me is that actually bhakti is, or devotional service is very, very active process. It's not like, you know, passive, like, oh, I do something happens. It's very much, you know, we have to cultivate. We have to put ourselves to action. You know, cultivate certain habits. You know, when we hear this, it's like, okay, let me apply this. Let me monitor, you know, certain desire comes. Oh, Krishna says, control my desire. Okay, how do I control now? Okay, how do I change my thought to something else so I can get diverted? So, we have to really apply ourselves. So, that's when it becomes wholehearted. That's when we completely immerse ourselves in the process. Then that's when we get so much reciprocation from Krishna. So, our Krishna's reciprocation is based on our, you know, intensity to serve Him. And how do we express our intensity? When such incidents happen, how do we choose Krishna when compared to something else? These are all tests, small tests we are getting. So, in those tests, how do we choose Krishna? That is what we are showing to Krishna, how much we love Him or how much we want to love Him.
Mm.
So, it may feel like, oh, it's so nice actually, just by these lines, try strenuously to control desire and anger.
Mataji, waking key sister.
Oh. Okay. Prabhu, in that there is a purse you can take. Huh. So we can actually, you know, we can work on so nicely on this, just by this term, right? Try strenuously to control desire and anger. Just by this, so we can like spend so many years in Krishna consciousness just doing this.
Thanks.
And we can never say it's done.
Isn't that scary, Mataji?
Why?
Because what it's implying is that you cannot get it under control completely, right?
Yeah, generally people say conquering desire and anger, but here it doesn't say that,
correct.
It's controlling.
It's like even controlling,
there is no possibility of conquering.
Okay.
But we also heard, right? We do the endeavor, but who is doing it? Krishna's mercy is doing it, right? So, you know, our endeavor is showing to Krishna how much we want Him. That's a desire, our part like that. But seeing that, Krishna is going to shower His mercy, that it becomes easy. Certain desires just go away. We don't even realize. After 2-3 years, we feel, oh, I remember earlier I used to have that so much desire, but now I don't feel like. Same thing happens. Oh, now I don't feel it. What's happening? We didn't really think, okay, I'm going to do this for this, do this for this, do this for this. Just we focused on devotional service and Krishna took away all those desires. So what it means is like we are not like yogis who try to, you know, explicitly try to control certain things. We are bhakti yogis where we depend on Krishna. So we apply the determination in devotional service and also actively you know, try to do it to our extent, to the extent possible. It's not like I'll just do bhakti and whatever desires come, oh, I keep acting on it, then it doesn't work. Like, you know, we heard this example, right? Marriage party. Marriage party wants to cross the river to... The bridegroom party wants to go overnight to the other side for the marriage. So then all the people are in the boat, nicely situated, and they are taking rest. Okay, tomorrow morning the boat is going to reach there and we are going to have marriage. So they gave to the person and he's rowing all night. They are rowing. Next day morning they opened their eyes, they saw they are the same place. Then they were asking, you know, what happened? They realized that they didn't pull the hook off. So they're just hanging on to that land, the old. So like that, you know, we try to cultivate devotional service, but at the same time, you know, we still invest on, you know, enjoying sense pleasures and, you know, all the habits. Invest, act on it. We have it, that's okay. We have it, it's okay. We accept it. We all accept it. But if we still invest on them, then we are just lighting the fire and putting water on it. That's all. So it's not going to be, and it's showing our insincerity. That's all. We are saying, Krishna, okay, I really don't want you. I still, you know, Krishna, I'm still thinking about it. Just wait some more time. That's what we are saying to Krishna. So, you know, it's all about our sincerity and, you know, how much we really are convinced about this and how much we really want to, you know, focus ourselves, devote our life in for Krishna. So, there are two practical things by which we could do it, actually. They were saying, you know, it's very nice to understand this. One can control this desires of material sense pleasures if we have two things. What is the two things? One is, one has higher taste in devotional service. And the second one is, if one has complete conviction that nothing in this material world can give him happiness, or that sense pleasures is equal to misery, if you have that conviction. If you have these two things, then it's very easy to control this desire and anger or material sense pleasures.
Anger is spontaneous, Vaimandari. It's not something pre-planned or like we think on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Don't go that far.
No. Because other things, when you get some desire,
yeah,
for example, you at least
it's
have
very,
time to think.
Yeah, it's very subtle, and you know, by the time we act, it's so much time is there.
Yeah.
The anger is like already it conquers our senses. We are already inflamed, ready to act. Yeah, that's why it's one of the, you know, six enemies. It's very difficult to conquer. So,
but anger is also.
I was just thinking about when I'm driving. As soon as somebody cuts off something I say, and it's like, oh man, what is this?
Yeah.
So it's like this.
Mataji, there is good anger too. Like, I mean,
yeah.
So,
that's what I was saying. So the way to deal with anger is to dovetail in Krishna's service, like Hanuman, right?
Yeah. So this anger must be in the context of being angry, driven by like Jayato Vishyamdu and Sasangasya Shubhati, that kind of an anger. Like, it's not anger because, you know, if you have to feel angry because you get something done, or if you're
yes,
so sometimes you need anger, otherwise
yes,
people won't really
yes,
think
yes,
what happens. So
yes,
but that is controlled anger again.
No, even then
intentional anger.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about spontaneity, like for some reason. Like,
yeah, if we are becoming angry because of not satisfying our senses.
Yes.
So Jayato Vishav, that anger cannot be beneficial to us. But the anger used in Krishna's service is a way to control the anger. Like Hanuman used the anger to burn the Lanka, so that is anger used in Krishna's service. That's a way to deal with anger. Prabhupada never said you don't be angry. Everything we have to use in Krishna service. Like for example, mother can be angry at the child because for a child's development, so a child at a certain age, it has to study. It's not that all the time keep playing, then, you know, because that's why it says, you know, what is that time? Okay, I remember. One is like shayas and prayas. Short term benefit and long term benefit. So kids always want short term benefit. Okay, today I eat nicely, today I sleep, I play. They're happy. But parents look for long-term benefit. Okay, kid has to study, then he goes to school, it has to situate in work, all those things. So they look long-term. But kids, they don't want to see. So shreyas and prayas. One is short-term, one is long-term. So then parent has to be angry for that. But not because, you know, it has to shout at the child or hurt the child. But controlled anger in such a way that, you know, knows that, you know, it has to be disciplined in order to listen and do properly.
In a government establishment in India, if you don't go there and you're angry about something, nothing will happen, because you have to be, you know, you just go and say, you know, please do it for me, nothing. Either you bribe somebody or you actually go and you show some anger. So
yeah,
things around you need to have,
yeah, whatever,
so
yeah,
that
basically
you cannot control. I mean, Krishna isn't saying control that anger. Krishna is saying control the things that
yes,
that take you towards particular,
yeah. That anger also, if you are doing because your position is hurt or something, then it's again bogus. Like, you know, it's entangling. Main thing, it should be clear that anger what is it? Why am I using this anger for? Is it for Krishna's service or is it for my gratification? Sometimes we may be angry with kids because, you know, we think we are the controller. That's also wrong again.
Controller and the
yeah,
ego.
We are tongue, yeah, ego. It's like, how can this small child, you know, not listen to me? I'm the boss here. So we shout at the kid. Then that anger is not good because we are just...
But if someone else is not following the law and you get angry because that person is not following the law, then you shouldn't get angry because it is his fault. And
yeah, we shouldn't bother about our... That's right. Yeah. So it's clear, right? We don't want to go into a lot of examples. And so basically, we have to monitor and see whether this anger is for my gratification or something which my lust being unfulfilled. Or is it really for Krishna service and beneficial for our, you know, our subordinates? Of course, you know, as Prabhu said, it's very, very difficult. No, I am struggling myself. So... It's like, you know, but if we have proper sadhana, proper rest, everything, whatever is needed, then it at least, you know, it's little bit under control.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, whole day we flare up, but maybe, you know, at one point when it becomes pushed so much, then, or maybe sometimes when it's so extreme that whole night I didn't sleep, that when I become angry. Otherwise, normally I'm like calm. It's like that.
They say with anger, we know that we are processing because the intensity and the frequency, it changes. Because if you see the freak, it doesn't come so frequently. And the intensity, like before it used to be so intense that I won't talk whatever for 4 days. Now I'm able to do it 2 days.
That's very good. Very good point.
The intensity and the frequency.
So we don't take it so seriously now. The anger is still there. But we know, you know, why to spend time, why to not talk with my wife for 2 days for
it
this.
Comes,
it's like, it's like, okay.
Changes.
Yeah, that's very good point. Very nice. At least that way we can see making progress. You cannot expect maybe in 5 years that, you know, you stop angry, becoming angry. It's like, no, actually,
the second point you told.
Second point is higher test. The second point is a conviction that material pleasure, that there is nothing in this world can give me happiness. Now, can we have that conviction? We should really meditate on this. Can we have this conviction that, you know, nothing in this world can really give me happiness? If you have that conviction, no, we can make so much progress. Because we will not invest anymore in all these things. Yesterday, our Praveen Prabhu was sharing. We were discussing about some retreat happening this weekend. Of course, different people, you know, we are not meaning to offend anybody. So, retreat happening this weekend. Some people are going, devotees are going and everything. So, then Prabhu was saying, you know, Madhava Prabhu was asking Praveen Prabhu, are you going, Prabhu? Say, no, Prabhu, I don't want to go. Last time I attended, but I feel it's more like entertainment. So I feel I don't want to go. So, you know, that conviction, to have that conviction and to really, you know, actually when we have the conviction, you know, when we are meant to do that, we feel we are being forced. We feel, you know, like, so we cannot stay there actually. We feel, why am I wasting my time? One day Madhavi Mataji was also sharing. There was one festival somewhere and there's a lot of other music going on. And she has to whole day stay in the book table. And she was thinking, you know, why am I standing here? And okay, I want to serve Krishna, but why am I exposed to this music? No, I feel like rather stay home and do some other service. You know, I have those tastes. And now this is coming up again because of that exposure. No, so much we can feel and we are so determined not to expose ourselves to the soul situations. No, because we have that conviction. No, no more. I don't want to invest anymore in this happiness in this world.
That one other thing is the conviction. When I think, like, the peer pressure, we tell the like the student, our kids and our right, the peer pressure is there. So that's peer pressure for me. when I think of these things, I think, oh, that's peer pressure for me. So I'm not going to do it. I'm getting swayed because everybody is doing it. So it's like a peer pressure, right? Everybody is doing it, so I should stay away. So it's a lesson for us.
Yeah, and but also we can feel peer pressure other way. Like, you know, devotees are making nice progress. You know, within few years, this Mataji is making so much progress. Prabhuji, no, see, why am I not doing? No, let me. What is wrong with me? No, wow, what mercy? How can I get more mercy? Then we can feel transcendental competition like that and make progress, nice progress. Okay. Text number 24. यो अन्तशुको अन्तरारामस्तन्ततान्तर्ज्योतिरेवया सायोगी ब्रह्मनिर्वाणं Brahma Bhuto Adi Gacchati. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme and ultimately he attains the Supreme. So what is this pleasure of spiritual realization? That's what Krishna is describing. We discussed that, you know, material sense pleasures are equal to misery. But what is the happiness of spiritual realization? So that happiness is, you know, it's within. And he is active and rejoices. So it's, I mentioned, right, bhakti is active. So he's active and rejoices within. And his aim is inward. So his goal is always for self-realization. He's actually a perfect mystic. Once somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, what magic did you do? Somebody said, you know, I can, some Swamijis, they can get vibhuti in their hand and do so many things. And somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, what is your magic? Like a challenging way. You know what Prabhupada said?
Change the hippies to happy people.
So my magic is that I convert the hippies into happies. That's my magic. He's changing people, not just getting material things. Right, it's changing people's consciousness, changing people. So that's why he's a perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme and ultimately he attains the Supreme. So right now in this body he is liberated and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Okay, we'll read the short purport.
Unless one is able to release happiness from within, how can one retire from the eternal engagements meant for deriving a liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. Mm. This state is called Brahma Bhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to Godhead. Back to Him.
Back to Him. So a liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. So this is similar to that verse 9.2 where Krishna describes the characteristics of devotional service. No, it's pratyaksha avagamanam. This devotional service is directly perceivable, direct perception of the self by realization. So we can experience it. It's not like somebody has to say, you know, you don't go there now, you don't go there, don't do this. Factually we feel, okay, I'm not interested anymore. As well as I was saying some examples, right? Factually we feel, okay, I'm no more interested in those things. Because it's factual experience. Therefore, he can sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. So he's not going everywhere, you know, let me go there, always running around. He can just be happy anywhere and just because he's enjoying the happiness within. It's like, you know, this musk deer. No, he... the smell, it's very attracted to the smell of the musk. It's roaming everywhere. Where is that smell coming from? So it hits himself and sometimes it dies also because it becomes so mad with that smell. But actually that smell is coming from within, from its tummy, right? No, it's... So the real happiness which we are really looking for in all these so many things is actually within us. We just have to work inward. No, that's what he's saying. Our aim should be inward. Mm-hmm. We should have to work on ourselves and try to clear all these contaminations and, you know, realize that full happiness from within. Rather than trying to seek so many things from outside. Somehow, that's why, you know, if we have this conviction, that's what we need to do. We just somehow have this conviction. Then we start applying with determination in the process, then Krishna will give the realization. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. Because, you know, he knows his happiness is getting far greater happiness from within. And that state is called Brahma Bhuta. And when having attained which, one is assured to go back home, back to Godhead. This Brahma Bhuta, characteristics of Brahma Bhuta is described in 1854 verse. Brahma Bhuta prasannatma naso chatina kaṅkṣati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. 1854.
Yeah, 694 page 694.
at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. The same points, right? He is fully joyful, he doesn't have any hankering or lamentation. And he is equal equanimity, you know, equally disposed towards everyone. And he attains pure devotional service to me. So actually, pure devotional service begins after one is self-realized. Otherwise, now whatever we are doing is called probate bhakti. Or, you know, we are just mimicking you know, the real thing. Unless we are completely self-realized, that's when real devotion service starts, in the pure state. Now we are just trying to, you know, just like a small child plays with the kitchen toys, mimicking what mama is doing. It's like that's what we are doing. There was one incident where Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada was conducting a festival, like one of the, you know, whenever he visited, he has that discourses he was giving. And in some place, all the devotees, they tried a lot to, you know, advertise everything and then bring people. Somehow, only few people came, like few, maybe 10 people. It was a big hall. Very few people came, but Srila Prabhupada, with the same intensity, he gave the lecture, everything, and everything was nice. But then devotees were not so happy because they felt, you know, they didn't please the spiritual master nicely. So they came, said, Srila Prabhupada, we are so sorry, you know, it was a failure, sorry. No, why are you saying like that? Didn't you see Lord Brahma was there? Narada Muni was there? Then they said, oh, is it? Oh, they came for the kirtan. Oh, then what did they say? You know, what did they feel? No, Prabhupada said, you know, they are laughing at to see such Kali Yuga devotees. You know, like how Kali Yuga devotees are trying to, you know, but you know, in the higher planets, it's more refined, right? More very, very nice, in Gandharva music, everything is so systematic and all those things. So he's saying they are laughing at this, laughing at your Kali Yuga devotees. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. Our devotion service, whatever attempts we are doing, we feel sometimes so proud about ourselves, but no, it's very
feeble.
Very nice. First of all, we are not doing nice so much into it. Whatever we do also, it's just it's like a drama. It's not the real thing because we are not fully realized. But Krishna still counts this. That's the mercy. It's still, it's still counted.
Madhuri, when you said self-realized, so what all things, because you are, this line, sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. And you are saying it's when you are self-realized. But in Bhakti Yoga, we are serving, right? We are learning how to serve and all activities.
So it's not
sitting silently.
Yeah.
Both are opposite, right? Yeah.
Okay.
In Bhakti Yoga, we didn't learn that sit idle and be happy. We are not.
Yes.
We are getting happiness in serving. We are serving and getting happy.
Yes.
And getting happy.
Yeah.
So this, how we are getting satisfied within? Means we are not. I am not getting happiness within. What we learned, we are serving other, then we are getting happiness, right? As a servant.
Oh.
Of servant means.
Yeah, got
we
it.
We are getting
got
happiness
it.
In within ourselves, independent. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Oh.
I am getting happiness.
No. This now doesn't mean like that. It's not like a yogi's happiness. Of course, yogis also who have self-realized may experience this. But what it means for us, what Prabhupada is saying is, at any time they can sit at any place. Means like they don't need to roam around for external happiness. While serving Krishna, from within they can experience happiness.
That means in context of...
It's not like sitting silent, really, literally sitting silently. It means even if he withdraws...
I mean basically we are not looking for enjoyment from the material.
Exactly. Senses. And even if, for example, such a person sits for japa, where, you know, japa is not really acting, doing something, right? He's in within, he's meditating a mantra, he's quiet and he's happy. But we cannot be happy like that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have my phone. I don't know. Somebody called
like that.
Oh, it
is here.
Okay. So, I didn't see the time. It's already 8:30 or what?
Yes, 28.
Okay. So, we're almost there. That's very good. Okay. Okay, so any more questions or comments?
For controlling anger and desire.
first one is higher base, right?
Yes.
We don't get that higher base.
So that's the problem.
Even though we try, but somehow our desires are pulling us to material things as a higher desire. Even though we are trying to study, but in the background of your desire or some bottom your heart, some material desire has a very high priority that we are looking for. Internet.
Yeah, that's why we should not act on that. When we hear from Shastra, so you know, we should know that now we know, you know, very clearly, right? Okay, this is a material desire and I'm giving me a top priority. So somehow we should pray and, you know, pray to Krishna, you know, please let me get detached from this desire. Help me, you know, I want to come to you. This is not good for me. No, I heard this. So please, can you, you know, help me? Can we make... So the higher taste... So the higher taste...
That's okay.
So the higher taste also, little by little it'll come, Prabhu. Based on the amount we surrender to Krishna, that much we get it. At least the amount we are now focusing, right? We know for sure something is there, right? So with that, we should invest more. So because Krishna is willing to reciprocate, only thing is we are withholding back. Because we are saying, Krishna, I will give you 10%, rest of it I want to keep it myself. Krishna is also not going to give us full realization. Because then we will get frustrated. Right? So that's right. So we will get frustrated. So that's why Krishna gives according to how much we are ready. So when we are ready, automatically we will invest in Krishna. Then we will give more realization. So yeah, we can pause then. Thank you.